Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. You know what, Andy? This is our holiday edition. This is our Christmas edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Merry Christmas, my good friend.
Same to you, sir. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you and your family. And to everyone out there, I hope your holiday season is awesome and wonderful. And of course, in celebration of the season, Jim, you and I off the air were talking about food. Of course we talk about the holidays and food.
Of course we were. We each have some great menus coming up for the holiday, but I do have to make a holiday announcement for our listeners. We typically get podcasts out and shows out Sunday and Monday. That's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We will not be doing that. Let myself, the staff, everybody enjoy our Christmas holidays. We wish you all a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. Hope you all have a great time with family and friends. We are going to do the same thing. But Andy, the Christmas present for Penn State fans, we got 25 of them this week. It was National Signing Day this week. And Andy, has there ever been, and I don't mean this in a negative way, a less exciting signing day? This is what James Franklin wants. Had 25 commitments coming in. They had all 25 signed. No excitement, no scares, no thrills. Just here they are. These are the 25, and they all signed. That's what James Franklin wants, isn't it?
Yeah, it was boring. Not in their presentation, but in that, kind of it went exactly as expected. And let me make a little note on that front, Jimmy. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. New defensive coordinator in the last week, right, or so. And your National Signing Day is low drama. That's very noteworthy in my book. I mean, you know, I think it kind of will fly under the radar as something that's actually really important because – you know, look at the transfer portal is available and college football is all about change right now. And you change your offensive coordinator and you change your defensive coordinator, you change one or the other in an offseason, you know, there is a little collateral damage sometimes that can come from that. They had to do them both, Jimmy. And Manny Diaz is a high-profile defensive coordinator that they lost. And they fired their OC. But, no drama. That's why James Franklin is one of the elite and top five, if not one of the top three, I would argue and say I'd stack him up as a pure recruiter against most head coaches in college football. He's simply one of the best recruiters in the country, and there's a reason for it. And to sort of be able to take the Penn State ship and navigate it through an OC and DC change within, you know, a short time frame, especially on the DC end, and navigate it through, and it be a low drama day, that speaks volumes. That's an action that speaks volumes, Jimmy.
It really does, Andy. And, you know, the closer I get to the program or talk to people, players, family members, about the Penn State way and how they do it, the culture that James Franklin has set up, it is not just a commitment to an individual coordinator, but these are players who are committed to the school. They're committed to James Franklin as the head coach, not just their position coach or coordinator. And there's a belief in the program. You even saw that with the lack of transfers also. You know, when Mike Yurcich left, many people were concerned because he was the guy who first saw Drew Aller, was the one who allegedly who brought him in. But Drew Aller very quickly, squashed any thought of he's leaving because Mike Yurcich is leaving. He's committed to the school and James Franklin. So I think it speaks well of the culture that they have at Penn State. Now, what it also means on the other side, they're not bringing in, you know, 10 transfer portal players either.
Right, right.
They're, you know, that's been very quiet. I think an offensive lineman and a kicker is all that they've brought in the transfer portal.
So far.
And just to tell you how, and maybe this is the other extreme, Colorado had, I think it's a total of 8 commits, Andy, 8 high school recruits, but 17 players came in through the transfer portal. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong or bad, but it's a very different way to do it.
It is a different way to do it. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, Deion Sanders was what this would look like at the end of year one. And he came guns blazing out of the gate. And then it was exactly kind of what you thought it was. I think you have to go through another 2, 3, maybe even 4 years of sort of looking at programs and how they use a transfer portal at the next level, because we've gone to the next level and he is taking it to some level that is a unique and he thinks can be successful, but it's not going to happen in a year, right? Like, they weren't going to win 9 games this year. You thought when they beat TCU that they were going to win 9 games. They got off to that hot start. And I'm like, your 4 walls and your bones matter. And their 4 walls and their bones are shaky. And that's the way it played out, because it's transactional. You know, the transfer portal is a little bit transactional. It's not long-term, it's short-term. This signing day is about acquiring your long-term, your 4 walls, your core values, some, those kind of things. That kind of talent comes through your high school players. Your transactional talent, your needs, your high-end needs, your developing wants, what becomes a priority, how you need to fill holes, that's all transfer portal. Deion's trying to do it the other way. And I'm not saying he can't. I'm fascinated to watch how it develops and blooms and plays out. We got to watch a full season of it. Let's see what the adjustments look like and how it changes in year two.
Andy, it's interesting the way you put it, you know, that foundation. A couple years ago, there was a recruiting class that brought in Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, Abdul Carter, all came in the same recruiting class. I think was Deny Dennis Sutton part of that class also, I believe.
But, no, I think he was a year later. No, you're right. He was. Yes. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that is going to be the foundation. It was for this year, is going to be for next season also. My question to you is, help us here. Who are those foundational type players in this recruiting class?
Yeah, that's a good question. I look at guys in the trenches. I'm not going to look at Penn State's needs. It being filled out by this class, I look at their bones and their foundations. I'm not going to go in depth on the quarterback. I like the quarterback, but the quarterback's not at Penn State, but it can be a transactional position. I do like the quarterback. Okay, so they got their quarterback. For me, I like Cooper Cousins, the 6'6", 315-pound offensive lineman from McDowell and Erie. I mean, there is a lot, and I mean a lot, to like about this guy. He's going to be an inside guy. He's a mauler. He's exceptional at pulling for his size. We're not sure what this new OC is going to do, but motion and movement have a lot to do with his offense. And that means your offensive linemen need to be mobile and be able to move and be in motion as well. He is exceptional at pulling for that size. He has what I call massive/elite/huge, whatever you want to describe. He has contribution sooner than later potential that is through the roof. The bottom line is they're getting a more polished product than most right away that has NFL draft skills, but draft potential skills. In other words, he has a skill set that over time, yeah, you definitely can see him as an NFL draft potential. The skill set shows you that, but they're getting a polished product to just add a couple more layers of shine to it, the college level. I find it really hard to see how this guy doesn't challenge or win a major contribution major contribution on the offensive line in 2024. I really do. So he's one of those guys for me. My favorite guy in this class is Liam Anders, because the 6'5", 265, he's 265. He's a two-way stud, right? Like, he's going to come to Penn State. He's going to be a defensive lineman. That's where they're going to start him. He could play offensive line. Like, not just like he could be an emergency or he might be able to. No. If he focused and they developed on it, he could play offensive line. But he has, like, this massive versatility that he could play anywhere. He could play the three technique. He could be all the way outside at that nine technique spot. And I think he's, like, one of those guys that, you know, you're not quite sure. My question, I want to see what he's really good at and what Penn State finds out he's really good at, because that will need development. Like, it's like he has five or six things that at the next level I could see him being really good at. Which one are you really, really good at? But his skill set on that side of the ball is unlimited. So I'm fascinated with him. I am just fascinated with him, because literally you could, like, it's almost like I could picture him on a college field being a high school player at a small school and playing offensive guard or offensive tackle and defensive end and defensive lineman. And it wouldn't be that big of a deal. So those are kind of just a couple of my guys off the bat. There's, like, some guys that I have, I think, that are good. Penn State has position it needs that I think opportunity is great for. But those are my two favorite. Do you want my third, or do you want me to hold off, Jimmy?
Well, let me throw it. Well, yeah, go ahead. Give me the third.
So I love Garrett Sexton. I know that's the offensive line and I'm boring. Don't forget, the kid's 6'7", 265, 279. He played high school quarterback 2 years ago. So keep an eye on this kid, right? He's rough around the edges, right? And that was known with how much weight he's gained as a 10th grader. He's added like 70 or 75 pounds in the last 2 years. But watching him on tape go from his junior to his senior year, the jumps he made and the progression of him, Jimmy, was just simply stunning for me, who's watched guys for 30 years. I was just like, holy crap, this kid. He really wasn't an offensive lineman or defensive lineman last year in high school. He was, but he really wasn't any good. He just had all this potential. He's good now. So I am fascinated by him.
There are several more interesting players that I want to get into with you, Andy. We'll do that when we come back for quarter number two. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format, where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Oh,
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about Penn State's recruiting class for this year. And Andy, there's a couple of the players in the star positions. You know, Ethan Grunkmeyer, the quarterback. Just real quick on him, what I think is fascinating, it's the Drew Aller model.
Yeah.
Kind of under the radar quarterback from Ohio. They had the same quarterback coach in high school. He flew up the rankings late bloomer, and he might be, you know. Is he next in line after, well, we'll worry about that later. But he seems to be a very highly regarded now. There's another player. You were talking about the players that interested you. And I kind of want to follow up on this whole late bloomer kind of thing where James Franklin and his staff sometimes seem to get in on a guy early before they blow up. And that guy this year is tight end Luke Reynolds. He was a guy that was just another guy, I think a three-star. He may have still only been a three-star when he committed to Penn State.
He was.
But now he's already, he's a top 100. He's a borderline five-star guy.
Yep.
And not only that, but he kind of continues that whole, it's tight end you now, isn't it?
It is in production, elite talent development, and then sending guys to the league at all three levels that you want to have the ability to use in your recruiting toolkit. Penn State's got it covered at the tight end position. And it's been, you know, for the better part of James Franklin's entire tenure, the most productive position overall, top to bottom, you know, development wise across the board, sending guys to the league, production and get on the field, elite talent being, you know, found and then developed, all of that. I'd argue that the best position that Penn State's done that at during Franklin's tenure is at the tight end position.
They recruit well, they develop well, they have depth, they keep
find
the
them.
Guys. And they have put a couple of them on the field at the same time, sometimes even three of them. So, you know, you don't have this, oh, well, we got Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren, so no way you're going to keep both of them. One of them will transfer out for playing time, but you keep them happy. And it just seems like that keeps happening at tight end. We have no concerns about the tight end room. I also think it's a fascinating offensive line class. You mentioned Cooper Cousins. Liam Andrews, who could play offensive line, probably going to start on the defensive line.
Yep.
You mentioned Garrett Sexton, I believe, a former quarterback shifting to offensive line. Not the thing you see very often. I always kind of like those guys who played quarterback in high school. It means they were probably the best athlete on their team. If they put him at quarterback. But I'm also impressed. There's a couple other guys on this offensive line. When you have a guy like Egan Boyer, 6'8", Andy, and I'm going to say only 250 pounds. This is a guy with very long, lot of room to fill out. So, and then you have a Donovan Harbor, 6'3", 325 pounds already, Andy. It feels like offensive line just a couple years ago, that was our biggest concern. Now they're having both star players and depth. It has transformed that offensive line room.
What was it? Two seasons ago, it was, they were shallow, thin, and weren't getting much in the recruiting trail. It was all three. It was, you know, the bad mirepoix. But they have their this offensive line recruiting class is truly the Forrest Gump box of chocolates. there is a little bit of something for anybody and everybody. There's some project. There's some high-end development that's become accelerated. There's a couple studs who could potentially have a very high potential to contribute much sooner than later. So they have a little bit of everything. And in terms of different body types and sizes and ability to be mobile, I think one of the things that James has learned and through his, you know, time as Penn State coach with his offensive line is I don't think he had a fully developed clear cut picture on how the offensive line, how you recruit it well and how you develop it well, other than you get big stud dudes. And I think he's shown more of a variety along the offensive line the past 2 to 3 years, not only in the recruiting class and in the way they do things. And I think going forward, that's going to go to another level. You could see some guys, you know, you could see six or seven guys rotating. I think the one thing for Penn State, some guys will say, well, you don't want to rotate your offensive linemen. I think you do. I think it's becoming the way that fast pace of the game. These guys can't, it's like the defense. You got to have a depth rotation. I think we're almost there with offensive linemen. I think James sees that coming as well. And I think he's recruiting like that. And I think that's what this class says to me more than anything. Up front.
And, you know, there might be a hiccup next year with the offensive line because you're losing so many people. You know, Fashanu hasn't announced, but he's going to the NFL. Caden Wallace is already announced. Hunter Norzad is out of eligibility. Sal Warmly could also be going. You know, that's 80% of your offensive line moving on. So there might be a transition period, but the pipeline is getting filled up. Nice to see. On the defense, Andy, you know, we talked about Liam Andrews probably going on the defensive side, but not a lot of star power on the defense. But I'm not so concerned. There just seems to be so much depth. I have so much confidence in this defensive coaching staff and how they're recruiting. Who are the guys, though, that stick out to you on the defensive side of the ball?
So I think I'm going to start I already told you my defensive line is one that I'm, you know, I think Liam Andrews is one of the guys. I got like three guys on defense. I'll just go. I like I think Jalen Harvey is a good get. I just think that's a great, good get. I also think he's going to have great opportunity. I think he has inside outside potential. I think he can be a four down guy. I like his work against the run almost as much as his quick twitch and athletic twitch off the edge. So I think he's the canvas that Deion Barnes gets to paint, shape, and mold in the way he thinks Harvey fits his defense best. I'm not going to say that about any other guy. And I know he has to get stronger because he needs to be able to stack and shed a little better at the elite level, but I think he's a really fascinating canvas, and I think Deion Barnes knows it. And so he's my one guy. I love Anthony Speca at linebacker. I know he's limited a little bit side to side at the FBS Power 5 level. I get it. He can develop that. He's a little bit more of a pure guy in the middle, but man, oh man, I think he is an NFL linebacker, right? In a 4-3 or in a 3-4 defense, I think he is a pure NFL guy in the middle that can roam, like sort of in the, you know, Devin White mold for the Buccaneers. He is so good from tight end to tight end at about 9 different things. I am absolutely in love with that guy. I know what his shortcoming is, and I don't care because I just think he is. I'm going to say this. He will surprise you at Penn State fans because you will be surprised at how good he is at going north-south inside the tackles and getting to the quarterback. That's all I'm going to say. He's really smart. So the last guy I wanted to mention, only because I think there's a lot of opportunity for him, and I think that's cornerback John Mitchell. And I also think this is the one guy in the recruit class I singled out. Penn State really needs him to come along and be sort of to create opportunity for himself sooner than later. Because I think going forward, cornerback is a position of need. And I think this guy can play. He's got to come along and meet them across the room. But I think the greatest opportunity for any single one player on this roster is in this recruiting class. It's him at the cornerback position because of the versatility and the diversity that he brings and his pure corner skills. There's a couple plug and play places. And I think Penn State's going to need a young corner to develop at the next level.
They will. It seems like all three cornerbacks, by all three, I'm talking Johnny Dixon, Kalen King, and then even Daquan Hardy.
Yep.
Looks like they're going to go. I think it was Terry Smith during some of these interviews saying, well, we're going to have three cornerbacks move on. So I think that was a hint, not very subtle, that those three guys will be moving on. So it'll open up opportunities. I can't help but mention that they also got Antoine Belgrave Shorter at cornerback. And to me, it's just so fascinating that these guys came from the same school.
Yep.
Could you imagine this high school, cornerback room with those two guys that level? But there are some people, even though Mitchell is so highly regarded, there are some people who actually like Belgrave Shorter more than they do John Mitchell. That just speaks of the talent from both of them. Last thing, Andy, last question. Wide receiver, perhaps the biggest area of need.
Yep. Yeah. They brought in three guys. I didn't see anything that says to me that they are going to make any significant progress in their shortcoming at wide receiver through the 2024 recruiting class. How's that? Look, two of them run track. Okay, cool. They're fast guys. They got a little bit of variety in different size guys in different positions, but we haven't seen any development at the wide receiver position, and it's a problem. And there wasn't, they might think in the coach's room that they might've solved something, or at least got one thing solved through these three guys. I don't see it yet.
I'm going to say keep an eye on Pete Gonzalez, though. He had an injury at high school.
It may take
a little while to develop. Keep an eye there. All right, stick around. We've got Ask Andy coming up. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We're going to take your questions. Give them to Andy. He'll give us the great answer. If you want to submit a question for Andy, very easy. All you got to do is download our app, Keystone Sports. Just search on Keystone Sports. You'll get the app. You'll see the Ask Andy button. Andy, are you ready to go?
I'm ready. Holiday version.
Holiday
Be
version.
Nice. Not naughty.
We do have a holiday question, but that'll come second. Let's get to the first question. Doug from Franklinton, North Carolina. Enjoy the podcast, guys. Do you think NIL allows for more parity across college football landscape? The schools that have been getting the majority of the 4- and 5-star recruits may not have the NIL budget to allow them to pay out over 3 to 4 years and continue to recruit to the depth they have in the past, which allows other schools to jump in. This is under the assumption that these schools don't have an unlimited NIL budget. Your thoughts, Andy?
That's a really good question, Doug. I'm not sure I've seen enough to... I'm not copping out, but I do have an answer. I'm not sure I've seen enough or know enough to be convicted of whether or not NIL is... like sort of leveling the playing field or slanting the playing field. I will say this. It is a tool and a piece of the puzzle that can be a difference maker and is at times a difference maker. But I also think lost in the NIL flood of, you know, money, 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 show me the money is, I still think the core at the core in recruiting, I think creating and showing and being able to sell opportunity is a better bargaining chip than simply being able to sell, you know, $500,000 or, you know, $800,000 or whatever it is. I still think that is a better value proposition than the pure NIL dollars that you can sell. I still think they are the best, you know, I call shotgun passenger in any college coach's recruiting toolkit, but I just don't think they're the driver yet.
You know, Andy, I had to think about this for a couple minutes, but yeah. I do think it opens the possibility for more parity, more teams to get involved, because it's a new tool to use. The other part is you can't talk about NIL without talking about the transfer portal.
Correct.
They are tied in. And just looking at the quarterback positions, you see, you know, some of these players like a Bo Nix at Auburn, highly regarded coming in. It just never came together for him. Now, I'm not sure how much NIL money there was at Oregon that he was offered, but the transfer portal made it easy also for him to move on. Michael Penix getting to Washington. DJ, last name I can't pronounce, from Clemson to Oregon State. Those kind of things, you know, does spread the talent out a little bit. Hey, you even get a Kyle McCord, a 5-star kid. He's at Syracuse. Now, correct, he may have been a disappointment to Ohio State fans, but for Syracuse, you know, that's a very nice get for them. All right, Andy, here we go with the holiday spirit. Matt from Massachusetts. Matt says, Jim and Andy, happy holidays. Two questions, nothing fancy. Tis the season. What's the favorite food on both of your Christmas dinner tables? And what game is your favorite upset of all time? Two fun questions from Matt.
Yeah. So my favorite holiday food of all time is mashed potatoes. with some kind of gravy / sauce. Has to be a great sauce to go along with it. My biggest upset of all time, number one, is Penn State over Miami. That was That's not because this is Penn State, just, and Boise State over Oklahoma is a close second. I think they were, I don't think the platform for Boise State, Oklahoma, obviously was the same as Penn State, Miami, but I think the football upset, the upset part of it was equal. So those are my two. All right, Jimmy, what about yours?
Very good answer. You mentioned mashed potatoes. If you're going to go down the potato line, I like the twice baked potatoes when you get cheese involved with the potatoes. That's always, you know, and that comes out in the holidays. But, when I was a kid, it was a special occasion to have veal. And my mother would make, we call them breaded veal cutlets. And if you're German, you'd call it schnitzel or Wiener schnitzel for
use
veal.
Pork, but you can use veal, but it's pork.
Yes, we've also had it with the pork, but the veal would come out in at holidays, Andy. When you have four boys in the house, you don't go out to with the veal very often. So we would often on holidays. You stole my thunder with the upset. Penn State, Miami, as far as magnitude, the most fans ever to watch, most viewers for a college football game. And I don't think young people, maybe even some older people, understand the magnitude of that game, Andy. Yeah. Everything you see now with college football playoffs and everything else began because of that game. And if you're too young to remember it, go to your history book, look it up, and learn, especially if you're a Penn State fan, Andy.
If those two teams played 100 times, Miami would win 99 times, Jimmy. They would. Yes. They would.
And they outgained Penn State. It was an incredible amount of time. But Vinny Testaverde was forcing the ball in. He threw about 38 interceptions, the last one being Pete Katopoulos that ended the game. 14-10 upset. Greatest upset for a national championship game if you're a Penn State fan. And again, it was history making also. A lot of people don't remember the Fiesta Bowl up until that point was a minor bowl game.
It changed the Fiesta Bowl.
But Penn State and Miami were both independents, so they were able to get them together, and none of the bigger bowls were able to do that. They were ranked 1 and 2 undefeated. So anyway, let's where are we going to go next, Andy? Let's go with Ed in Allentown, who says, Andy, how would you rank James Franklin among college football coaches? Who are the coaches that you think would be ahead of him? Loaded question,
Andy,
there.
That was a loaded question. Ahead of him? So I would put him in the top 10. Man, college coaches ahead of him. So couple college coaches ahead of him. I think Nick Saban I would put ahead of him. I think I would put Lincoln Riley ahead of him. I know you wouldn't, Jimmy. I would put Lincoln Riley ahead of him. I would put Jim Harbaugh ahead of him. I would put,
Dabo?
Yeah, I would definitely put Dabo Sweeney ahead of him.
Kirby Smart?
Yeah, I would put Kirby Smart ahead of him. That's what we get, 4 or 5 there. So I think that's probably about it in terms of guys that I would put in front of him. So maybe 6th, 7th in the country. You might have your flavor. You might have a favorite flavor coach, but yeah, I think he's definitely, in terms of CEOs, essentially what Tom Allen in his press conference the other day said, he's like, as a head coach, you're a CEO, which is what we use. And James is a great CEO. Does he have shortcomings? Yep. Oh, he does. But Is he very good at being the CEO of Penn State football? He's one of the best in the nation.
I always get a little antsy when you use the expression CEO, Andy, because it feels like it it's like damning with faint praise.
No.
He's doing executive duties. He's not doing real coaching duties.
No.
And the other aspect, and I'll use the example you brought up, Lincoln Riley. What's fascinating to me is how coaches' stock could rise and fall.
Yep.
Lincoln Riley, with what he was doing at Oklahoma, it's, yeah. Well, he went to USC where he had every opportunity in the world, the best quarterback in the country, the best recruiting region in the country. It's stinking USC. You should be able, through the portal, really put together a great team, and he loses five games with the best quarterback in the country.
Yep.
So, you know, it could change how you feel about somebody. Neither one of us mentioned Ryan Day, who...
No. That's a no.
Again,
I'm not the Penn State guy that hates Ohio State that way, and I'm not a Penn State guy. Yeah, no. That guy's a jackwagon. Yeah, no. He's a coordinator blessed with a machine that produces talent. Yeah, he can't coach a rat to eat cheese, and he's a terrible CEO. Terrible. So I equate the CEO as being like a bus driver. Can he get everybody on board? Can he do a bunch of different things? You know, can he get the bottom of the bus pack? Can he keep the bathroom clean? Can he make sure they get where they're going? Can he do 9 different things? Is he a great bus driver? I wouldn't run Ryan Day driving my bus if I was a college football fan. No.
One of these days we'll get you to express how you really feel about Ryan Day. But it's fascinating, too. Just the impression of coaches could change so quickly. Remember just a couple of years ago, Scott Frost took Central Florida to an undefeated season. This was a guy who I think many people – a couple of years ago, if we asked this question, I think many people would say Scott Frost. He goes to Nebraska. There goes that reputation. And Ryan Day – he lost multiple close games to Michigan. Then his loss to Georgia in the playoffs last year, a missed field goal at the end of the game. If he wins that game, whether your opinion would have changed or not, Andy, doesn't matter. The general public would have had a much, much different impression of him.
Correct.
Because very good chance they would have gone on then to win the national championship over TCU. So it's fascinating to me how quickly the image of these coaches changes. You know, Jimbo Fisher went to Texas A&M and, you know,
graveyard.
All of a sudden, yes, yes.
Graveyard. So,
all right, Andy, that is it for Ask Andy. We got more to come in quarter number 4. Stay tuned. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. Andy, we were scheduled to get into new defensive coordinator Tom Allen, but before we get there, you had a couple interesting tidbits left over from our conversation about this recruiting class.
Yeah, we went in depth on this recruiting class, and I just want to tie a bow on it for us on a couple fronts. It's a really good class. Let's just say that. We talked about the drama, but it's still top 15 overall in the country. You're never going to hurt yourself with that. It's second or third in the Big Ten, depending on where you look. I think them and Michigan have very similar recruiting class. Ohio State is obviously.
Oregon is also up there.
Yeah, Oregon's up there as well. I forgot about that. Yeah, I got to put Oregon in my mindset. Here's a couple. They have 19 team captains in this class. In other words, they have 19 guys in this recruiting class that were team captains. Don't underestimate that. 16 of them are coming in early. Another good number to go with. They have five schools with multiple players, Jimmy. Five. That's crazy. Now, on the flip side, this isn't a powerhouse class. This isn't like your eye candy, you can't have man crush class. They only have two of the top 100 players generally across the board, right? But at the secondary level, when you're looking at Penn State, they have six of the top 10 players in Pennsylvania. Another good thing. And across the board, big, big, big picture. I went across all the recruiting sites. 20 of the players in this class have at least one service that rates them as either four or five star. Depth, depth, depth. It's a very, very silently boring. It might have been a little underwhelming. Nothing was shaken up. Not a sort of eye candy big name class. It is rock freaking solid. So that's all I wanted to get in before to tie a little bit of a bow on the 2024 class.
In honor of the holiday season, tie a bow on it. Very good, Andy. All right, let's move on. New defensive coordinator Tom Allen, former head coach at Indiana. What do you think of the pick?
Oh, so I'm torn here, Jimmy. I'm like, I knew Tom Allen could coach ball, right? Like, and that was always apparent to me with the job that he did at Indiana. And even before that, when he was a DC in South Florida and, he was coaching at Ole Miss. He coached linebackers at Ole Miss. I knew he was a ball guy, right? He could coach ball. And by that, I mean he's a good football guy. He annoyed the crap out of me as Indiana's head coach because it was just like this shiny, happy people cheerleader syndrome that drove me crazy. But he is Penn State's defensive coordinator. So here's what I think. I think James had grown over time in playing Indiana under Tom Allen's tenure as the head coach. I think he came to respect what he was doing, and I think he liked it. And that was what he came in, that's how he came into the process, right? What he came away with it was that this was a guy who was more intimately involved. And everything Indiana did was centered around their defense and their ability to play defense because they were pretty much offensively tragic. Not quite Rutgers tragic, but they were in the same zip code type tragic offensively. It was just, if you just even look at the Penn State games, it was like you had nothing to worry about on the offensive side of the ball. So he came away like, this guy knows and was more intimately involved in ball than I thought. And what I had already liked, I think it's a bit of a safe hire. I think it's going back to the well. It's a head coach, a former head coach who was a very good DC hire him. I think he sort of went with what he knew and where he had success. In other words, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If I can get this guy. And I really think James was surprised a little bit out of the depth at which Tom Allen, while being the head coach, was still involved and the ball knowledge that he brought to the table. And I think that was enough to send James over the top.
And yeah, I think he's going to that well, that former head coach. And he has talked about that, liking having, you know, the former head coach. And even, you know, Manny Diaz has said what being a head coach did to help him as a defensive coordinator. You view the game a little bit different. So that's the plus side. I found it interesting, you know, when you talk about, hey, we want to continue what we're having, stick with what works. The defense has been so good the last couple of years. To me, I thought that pointed towards Poindexter. It'll be fascinating to see if in time Poindexter says, hey, this now limits my growth potential at Penn State, at least for a couple of years. I don't see Tom Allen leaving after 1 year unless it's a disaster, okay? And I can't picture it being a disaster. So does Poindexter go outside to look for other opportunities? A couple things that I – just some of the things that I've read I found fascinating. One was the comment that James Franklin and Tom Allen watched game film of the Penn State-Indiana game together from this year.
Yeah.
And it got me to think, too, again, in Tom Allen, you have a guy who's watched Penn State, had to prepare to play Penn State. That's another voice in the room that could say, hey, when we got ready to play you, this is what we saw. Remember Indiana putting a scare into Penn State? Were there a couple things that he saw as a head coach on the other side of the field? He found weaknesses that he could exploit with a much less talented team. So that kind of fascinated me, Andy. So the pick could grow on me. I think there's enough there. And again, I think that guy who's been a head coach and understands those things gives a different perspective.
He's a junkie. Tom Allen's a football junkie. So is James to a degree. But I think as a defensive coordinator, Tom's a better junkie than James. But that is part of what I think he liked, was that he found a junkie and he didn't expect that.
And you mentioned the enthusiasm that he shows, the rah-rah kind of thing. There is a bit of, the personality that I think James Franklin likes that enthusiasm. And, you know, they apparently did not have that with Mike Yurcich. That his personality didn't fit in. It'll be interesting to see how this personality fits in, you know, with the rest of the Penn State staff and with the team. You know, we've been told, and Landon, who's part of our show, has talked about how, you know, the players on Penn State's defense would run through a wall for Manny Diaz.
Yep.
Until the new guy gets here, you're not going to know if he's going to have that same kind of commitment. It sounds like it. It sounds like the Indiana players felt that way about him. We will find out how it is when he gets here. An interesting thing I wanted to ask you about, and you knew, Andy, you knew it. Tom Allen knew it. The world knew it. The question was going to come. Michael Penix reaching for the pylon. He was going to get that question. And I don't know if you saw his answer or not. What did you think of his answer to that question? Because I already had a bit of a discussion with somebody about it. I want to hear your take.
Yeah, he hit the pylon. He scored. It was a two-point conversion. Tom basically said, I have a picture of it that was hanging in my wall, and he scored. And I was okay with that. I'm like, yeah, because that's kind of what happened in my view too. Now, Penn State fans don't see it that way, and I'm okay with that as well. There's no way that counted.
Just let me interrupt you for a second, Andy, and you know where I'm headed. You and Tom Allen are both wrong on this one.
Yeah, I know.
I could give you a picture too where he's hitting the pylon. The problem is that was after it bounced off of the ground before hitting the pylon. That's the only problem. You could have that picture all you want, Andy, with the ball hitting the pylon. It did. But guess what? That doesn't count if the ball hit the ground first out of bounds before it hits the pylon. So go ahead, continue your thought.
No, no, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. Here's another thing I want to bring up about Tom Allen. Like, so I knew when Penn State hired Manny Diaz, I was like, oh man, did James get us? I just kept warning you, right? Like, wait, Penn State fans, wait. You're gonna love this. Wait till you see this guy as a DC. I'm not as enamored with Tom Allen in the way that I was with Manny Diaz. But there is something that Tom Allen does as a coordinator, and his Indiana teams did it as well, particularly on defense. And his defenses at Indiana were like quarter to quarter and series to series type adjustment capable. And that is next level stuff, Jimmy. And they could make adjustments probably. That's why they were in games. That's why he won 33 games in Indiana, right? During his tenure, it was 33-48, but that's better than most at Indiana University. That's what he has the ability to make a defense a chameleon as a coordinator. In other words, he has to be on the field, I think, like Manny was, but I think he is really, really exceptional at the sort of quick fire adjustments. He doesn't need to get to halftime. He doesn't need to go between quarters. I think he has the ability to make adjustments with what he has on the field. Even if he doesn't play 20 guys, with what he has on the field, he doesn't need to rotate like Manny did to make adjustments. That's mad scientist stuff. That's what Manny is. Tom is taking the guys on the field and making adjustments. He's exceptional at it. And I love the one quote from James that stuck out about this hire was, about, you know, when it came to the defense, James said, we don't need to start over. That would make no sense. In other words, that's Tom Allen's marching order. You still be your personality, but we are not starting over. That makes no sense at all. And I'm sure when they were sitting there watching film, James and Tom of the Indiana-Penn State games, that he was like, why would you start over with this, right? Like, there's no need for this. So I think they both understood that James understood. They both understood what James's marching orders and what he was looking for. And I think he got Tom Allen's buy-in and understood that that wasn't Tom Allen's intention either. So I do think that was important.
That was a fantastic point, Andy. For those of us, here's what I've been saying. Don't fix if it ain't broken.
Right.
And I think that's an excellent point that you make. Andy, that's going to have to be it for our show. I want to wish you, Andy, all our listeners, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, enjoy it. We'll be back next week prior to the Ole Miss Peach Bowl game. Please join us then. Happy Holidays, everyone. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.